Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
I want to welcome John Keegan to the show. John, we've been friends for how long? Like, how long have we known each other? Like 6 or 7 years now, man?
Yeah, at least. I mean, I've definitely known of you for a long time, even longer than I actually knew you. But finally, we got to meet, I think, down in...
In Mexico, right?
Which is the first time we... Yeah, in Acapulco when we were both speaking there.
So, yeah, we were speaking at the...
The first time we got to hang.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because we were speaking at the... what was it called? Sasha's event. The...
Infinite Man.
Infinite Man. Yeah. And... Yeah. You've been in the business as long as me, I think. Maybe longer, I don't know.
Around the same. I was hearing about you for years. You know, I knew of the great Robbie Kramer, but I had never met.
Likewise.
Yeah.
And you were doing your thing in New York. Did you ever when did you first get involved? I first got involved, I started working for Pickup 101 back in 2007, I think. When did you come on the scene?
Yeah, so I came on the scene, right? It's right around that same time, you know, there was something in the air, wasn't it? Like, there was people that wanted to be taught, you know, there was people that wanted to learn. There was people talking about this kind of stuff online. So it was right around that time, for me, where I started coaching right around 2007, exactly then. And it was just a small, you know, very, humble start, you know, like, I became really great at something and I was obsessed with it and I was having fun with it. And it was basically, you know, being able to go down the street or walk into any cafe or any museum and just light up, bookstore or whatever, and just, you know, light the place up with breaking the ice left and right, meeting all these girls. I was like a windstorm, and anybody who saw me was like, wow, you got to teach other people that. And that's how it started. And because I was basically an actor who wasn't making any money, realizing that I may never make any money. It was a way to take a passion I had, and I was starting to learn how to be an entrepreneur, and I was really into health and wellness and all that kind of stuff, and I was trying to a way to take a passion I had and see what happened. And I just put an ad on Craigslist. Literally, because I had no tech ability. I put an ad on Craigslist. And
I did the same thing.
Yeah. you did the same thing? Really?
Yeah.
Back then, it was the thing, Craigslist.
Totally.
It's amazing. Wow. My ad was just basically like, hey, awaken to a new reality. I was trying, because you don't know who you're talking to out there. And I was trying to, I didn't want to get like all the creeps of the world. So I was really like painting it in a holistic way, like, meet and connect with women anywhere and everywhere. In an authentic way as yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I just called myself, just on the Craigslist ad, I called myself Awaken, because I just I didn't know who was coming, and I wasn't really comfortable being this guy yet, you know?
Right.
So these guys responded, and I actually got some cool guys, like really cool New York guys who had, you know, wanted to get better meeting women. And it started small, and they started writing about me in these forums. And then more guys kept coming. And then I started learning how to be a coach just from doing it, you know. And then I started learning how to be, you know, an entrepreneur just from figuring out how to create programs and all that kind of stuff. And so from mid-2007 to about 2009, I was just hustling it out. I built a website. It was becoming clear I actually could, you know, pay my way, you know, pay my bills at least doing this, you know.
Right.
And I was having fun. I was loving it. I was totally steeped in it. And somehow from that, at 2009, I got into the New York Times, big story.
Really?
And that was, for me, a huge story. It literally made the world stop. No, but it was actually a full, like, I was literally in print and in an audiovisual, like, art piece. You know, like, this famous photographer followed me around, Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer, followed me around for 4 days, taking pictures of me. And then one of the reporters interviewed me, and so they put this audiovisual thing together, which you can find online. And,
wow.
uh, and, Yeah, so it's called, you know, just John Keegan, and they called it the Ladies' Man, which, you know, I didn't know they were going to do that. And originally they found me in a very random way. I had every business in the world wants to be New York Times, you know, but I literally just posted a flyer on a wall because one of my friends told me to post this flyer. So, and he said, like, you know, you need business, try posting a flyer. And I was like, oh, that sounds dumb, but all right. And I literally wrote a poem, like, there she is, bright and shining eyes, you know, walking by, you didn't say hi, standing next to you on the subway, you didn't say hi, sitting next to you in the cafe, you didn't say hi, sounds like a long day. You know, and I just put this website, the Awakened Lifestyle, I just put that website I just made there, you know. Mm-hmm. And literally the city took all the flyers down, but the next morning I got an email from this guy at the New York Times, and he said, hey, we're looking to do a story on someone like you. And I talked to him about it, and then I thought, you know what, I don't want to be that guy. So I hung up and I just said, I'm not going to do it. But yeah. Then I looked up the way they were doing it, the series, this 1 in 8 million. It was very, like, elegant black and white photos, and they were very respectful of their subjects. So, mm-hmm. So I said, I'll do it. And for me, it was a big game changer because, number one, it was like, I'm just like coming out to the world as this guy. And it was just like, you know, all of a sudden people all over the world knew who I was. And it was on every doorstep for a moment, you know? And then it just made my focus more about that. And then all of a sudden all these, you know, boxing friends and, you know, men's health. And from that day to this, nonstop, that I can be on TV or in a magazine, you know, being the guy, the dating guy, the dating expert.
That's so cool. I didn't know any of that story.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Interesting. Yeah, I'll send you the link. I mean, it's really cool. The story is really, to be the subject of that story.
Yeah, I just Googled story, it. Really. Googled it while you were talking it. And it looks like it's really, you know, I like the way it's made and the way it looks and everything. I didn't watch it yet, but just from what I can see on there. So that must have drummed up a lot of business and a lot of, you know, that. What did you see kind of happen with your business after that piece ran?
Yeah, and it was a different time, you know. So it's not like this time. It was a different. It was an interesting time to be a lot, and it wasn't that long ago, but it was just different. And right away I got way more clients, and for me, you know, it was like a big deal, like emotionally. Wow, for people, you know, if you look at that story there, all of a sudden I was this unknown guy who was trying to be an actor who found something that's working for him. And now, it's a controversial thing, as you know, right? Where it scares mm-hmm. people. Like, even though if you listen to that story, telling it in a very, beautiful way, a holistic way, a spiritual way. But when you look at the comments, which they finally cut off, you'll see like 50% of the comments, they're coming from all people all over the world, you know. So in my mind, it felt so big at that time. This is before everybody was tweeting and Facebooking, you know, so it was really, wow, you're exposed. Yeah. And 50% of the comments were like, wow, this guy is amazing. What a hero. Literally, like that extreme. And then 50% were, this guy's evil. This guy's bad news. This, you know, this guy's, you know, the end of time.
Yeah.
So I actually it's like good for me. Like, it was like, wow, it's like bothering me when people were saying negative stuff. I was really being reactive to it. And so it was good for layers of my ego, because it got me past another layer of the main thing that I teach people is to get over the need for other people's approval of you, you know, to really be your own, follow your own instincts, follow your own path. Become comfortable with the idea that people reject you on any level. So it was like really good for me there. That was a next level. And then besides the fact that I actually got a lot of clients, I just got a lot of press. Like, I started at the top, you know. I didn't start in, like, you know, the New Jersey Gazette. I started in the New York Times. And then from there, it was like Fox and Friends and, every single, I could just name like a couple hundred magazines, all good stuff, you know. Even right. Entrepreneur magazine, everything was like, it was like, wow, you know? So it just made me focus on that. And I said, well, I'm going to go down this direction now. I'm not even going to try to be an actor anymore. I'm just going to go down this and focus on this.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done ever since, you know?
That's really cool. I'm glad to finally hear your story because, you know,
yeah.
had to get you on a podcast to hear it.
Yeah, I know. Hey, who talks anymore? You know, I got to go on a podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, you know, just before we were, you know, we were kind of talking about the nuances between New York and Kiev, where I moved here a year ago, I was telling you. You know, so you've been in New York this whole time. I was living in New York. First time I basically moved to New York in 2011, 2012, and lived there. I was kind of bicoastal between then and a year ago. So I'd spend, you know, between 3 and 6 months a year in New York. But you were saying how you've really seen like a pretty big change and just, you know, the kind of how people date, how, you know, feminism, all that shit. I don't want to get too heavy into that because that could take on another tangent. But are you still enjoying living there and still enjoying the lifestyle there?
Yeah, I mean, I love New York. I love it on so many levels. And, you know, since that time, you know, at one point around, you know, I started to get, people started to know me around other parts of the world. And one of my dreams was to be able to travel and make money and have a purpose. And so I started getting to travel a lot, you know, to LA. I started going to LA all the time, Miami. And then I started going to other parts of the world and getting good. So I started to get to travel and that was like a lot, you know, awesome feeling and also very eye opening on different cultures and how people are, you know, women are relating to men in those cultures. And then here in New York, you know, it's just, I've had many beautiful girlfriends, many interesting girlfriends, but it's a certain kind of a person that lives in New York, any man or woman, which is basically generally no one's from here. They come here to create something, to make something, to be somebody, to you know, and then they're faced with insurmountable odds, high rent, you know, shitty overpriced apartments, you know, everything's expensive and it's trying to, you know, deal with that and create yourself. So everyone that comes is generally on some level of that. So that being said, it's a certain breed that comes here. And I didn't realize that at first until, you know, it took me all these years to realize why is it so different. But that's
yeah, I
happening.
Never really thought about it, but that's, yeah. You nailed it, you know, nailed the nail on the head there for sure. And that's why I moved to New York. Everyone wants to be someone in New York. It's the Big Apple, right?
Yeah. And it's sort of like the place, if you can conquer here, you conquer the world. That's the idea, you know?
You can make it there, or you make it anywhere.
Yeah. And so two things happened. One, I just became more aware, but at the same time, yeah, the idea, what I started to realize is woman after woman that I would date in New York, and originally I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania, it was a different vibe when I would date a woman, you know? Also, you know, when I say small town, it was near Philadelphia, so it wasn't like we were like, you know,
whereabouts?
Country bumpkin.
My family's from it's called Melrose Park, Elkins Park, Abington area.
Oh, right. But, you know, so I'm from Swarthmore, if you know where that is. It's like Swarthmore, Delaware County. It's right outside. It's about 20 minutes from Philadelphia Airport. It's outside of Southwest Philly.
Okay, because, yeah, I guess my mom's side is all from the northern suburbs there. But I heard the accent.
Yeah, so you understand. Is that where you were? Were you born and raised there? I try to get rid of it, but it comes back. Sometimes I'll say water. You know, hey,
exactly.
Can I get a cup of water?
Tournament water.
Or you got 10 Yeah.
No, I never actually lived there. I was born in D.C. and moved to the West Coast when I was like 4. But my cousins lived there. My grandparents lived there. So I spent a ton of time in Philly.
Mm. But, yeah, so you know it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like it. It's a nice place to visit. Nice city.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was just a different vibe growing up where women were, you know, where it was like, you know, there was that obvious polarity between masculine energy and feminine energy where, you know, it was like, you know, a woman was for her man. So all my girlfriends were for me, you know, I mean, I was for them, but there was like a natural support to help to be for your man. And I found in New York, it's really more to like, you're supposed to be for yourself and you're supposed to be for her. And right. I can be honest and say that most girls that I've dated, that's been, I've really like, wow, it's just over and over. And maybe if I'm trying to date a certain kind of girl, whatever, you know, probably there's that too, you know, but there is that. And then I realized, you know, I can't just say it's feminism. I can just say that it's, the condition that's in New York is everyone's trying to be the star. Everyone's trying to be their best, become their best version, and everyone needs help. And women look to men to help them get there. There is a lot of men to help them get there, but not helping them, the man, get where he's going. Yeah.
Right.
So that's something I've seen a lot. But talking very specifically over the last couple of years, there has been a major change. You know, like, I'm a feet on the street guy. I'm out teaching people to meet people in parks and everywhere, and I'm walking around and I'm seeing, and I'm empathetic and I'm seeing what's happening, especially around like the colleges and things like that. The girls used to be, just a few years ago, I would even say right around Obama's second term came in, it seemed like the world started to go in, you know, an accelerated sort of, I don't want to, left wing kind of thing that came very fast. And when I used to just wave and say hi to a woman, like 99% of them would smile back. And then little by little, especially in the college areas, things like that, they just became very unhappy. There's this sort of anger and this sort of division, and all of a sudden, it started becoming women against men. If you remember, it didn't used to be that. That was just right around then. And all of a sudden, there was this whole thing about, you know, women against men, which was then only really like exaggerated when Trump won the election because he grabbed them by the pussy and all that. So they really ramped it up. You know, he ramped it up like the whole, propaganda against that. Mm-hmm. It's division, you know, it's just division. But I really found, now as you get a little bit older, you know, women aren't so much like thinking like that on it, but there's always, you know, it would always be like, and the more miserable the girl, the more I would ask her, you know, hey, what's your major? What's going on? It would always be like gender studies or something. And it's like, and they would just make it, so I was wondering, does it make you miserable or does it just attract miserable people? So I don't know, but there's a lot of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it definitely creates division, you know, so there's all this division, men against women. And you can feel that here. There's literally even, you know, here in Soho, there's literally even shops that are just basically anti-man propaganda shops. There's like a clothing store that basically, this is what you dress like if you hate men. And they always have like these anti-man slogans on the front of this thing. You're like walking through Soho.
Wow.
And it's like all, and then there's a, then there's a, another store that's just like the, you know, get your, you know, the propaganda shop, like get your man tears here, get your, you know, man tear coffee cup, man tears coffee cups, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, it just seems a little, imagine if it was reversed, you know, like yeah. If you hate women, get your clothes here, and here's where you can get your, you know, your dumb blonde clothes, you know, it would be incredible. Yeah. So it's like really, there's that whole thing going on.
Right.
And then if I ever bring it up to someone, they say, well, women have been oppressed so long, we can do it. And that's sort of the mentality that goes on here. We can hate anybody that's not been, you know, that if we claim we've been oppressed, then, you know, we can hate the side that we claim oppressed. And that's like from color to sex to size, you know, whatever it is, to wealth. You know?
So yeah. Tell me more about.
So let's go on to something positive here.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me more about, because I've done a ton of, you know, run around New York City and hit on every girl I see, you know, in the subway, in the parks, wherever.
Yeah,
and I know you've done a ton of that stuff. So tell me a little bit about that. How have you seen that? Are you still doing that much? And you're taking clients out to do that? And tell me how your experience has been. I can kind of tell you what it's like here in Ukraine. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is the good news is that, despite having, you know, seeing all that, you know, what I try to do every day is get my mind away from that. Because if you think about that kind of stuff, it really, you'll find it everywhere you go. Right. And that's what if I think, oh, it's all this gender studies ruining the world. And then all day long, I'll be running into a gender studies major. You know what I mean? So, so once you get your mind off of that and you just start getting a state of appreciation, start finding your own flow. At the end of the day, all these things are just thoughts, and two people do want to connect. Men do love women. Women do love men. They do want to connect. So I take I'm almost coaching off many weeks, 7 days a week, you know, because I do a lot of one-on-one coaching, two-hour sessions, you know, and we meet like 12 times each one of my clients. That's kind of my initial package with them, right? Uh-huh. And we're going around And we're meeting women in all those places, you know, just walking through various neighborhoods, in the parks, in the bookstores, in the Whole Foods, in, you know, walking to art galleries, going down in the subway. And yes, for me, my whole focus when I'm with my clients is to have them be doing it. And they're doing it, and they're meeting lots of women, and they're connecting. They're still able to have these great conversations. They're still happening. It's happening as much as it ever has.
Yeah.
And there's still the same problems in New York, which is people are so busy, it's easy to meet them. It's hard to reconnect with them. So that's one of the art forms of understanding this New York as opposed to a lot of other places. But, yes, there's still women still loving to flirt, women still loving to connect. It's all day, every day.
Tell me more about your approach. Because I always love to talk to guys who've done a ton of,
yeah,
you know,
day stuff. Yeah, so even yesterday, so you said, hey, do I ever do it? So I'm dating someone fairly seriously. We're not in a total committed, so that's nice. But even yesterday, I just was with a friend, and he wasn't a client. It was, but this beautiful model came out of a casting. It's kind of stumbled out the door, and he looked at her, and he was like, wow, she's really, you know, wow. And I said, well, here, why don't you go over and talk to her? And he said, oh, no, that, you know, and this guy's really good with women, but he's not good at approaching women. He gets him, he has his other ways he meets women, yeah?
Yeah.
And I said, well, look, I'll just show you. And I walked over, and I just, and this is when you say, how do I approach? I just, my initial thing is just to disarm her, you know, just to gently come in, and I just say something like, excuse me, miss, you know, just very disarming phrase, and that brings down the walls, gets her attention. And then in this case, I just simply said, My friends and I were walking by, and we saw you, and we were just admiring your look today, you know. Yeah. And then I went on about, and then I very specifically said why I was admiring her look. She's got these great leather pants. She's got, you know, and I was going on about it. And then she's like, oh, thanks. I just came out of a casting. And then I said, but I thought we also were a little worried. Maybe you were drunk. You stumbled out the door. And I started teasing her a little bit, you know, because she was like looking at her Instagram as she walked out the door and almost tripped you.
Yeah.
And then so I started teasing her. And then we just had a nonchalant conversation. I flirted a little bit. I made sure that, you know, I kind of, instead of just asking her a bunch of questions and being very observational and making inferences about her, and then I'm making sure that she knows something about me, you know, making her invest, you know, basically guiding her to invest energy in me, so making sure she's asking questions, she's into this. And then I'll always be direct in some way. Like in this case, it was very, you know, just like, I didn't need to be blatantly direct. It was just like clear that I was flirting. And then I just said, hey, let's grab a matcha sometime. And my friend actually owned a matcha shop. So, and then she was like, yeah, cool. I love matcha. And then I just took her Instagram, and then we've been flirting over the text, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole thing of getting a girl's Instagram too. You have to make sure that the messages come through. There's a way to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about that, because I've been, you know, recently, it's almost pointless, especially here in Eastern Europe. It's pointless to get a girl's number because,
right,
you know, why would you get her number when you can get her Instagram? Especially because she's probably going to respond more likely to the Instagram message anyways. So, do you find that to be the case in the U.S. now too?
Yeah, that can be really, you know, Instagram can work for you or against you. So yeah, if you're going to do the Instagram route, you have to have a lot of cool pictures. You got to look good, you know, don't have, you know, so that's important. But yeah, a lot of these girls, especially the kind of girls we're talking about, models, things like that, their whole lives around Instagram. And so it's easy to basically, you know, show your stories and stay in touch, and it helps build a rapport with them. That's the positive of it. The negative of it is that you can get hooked on social media. You know?
Totally.
So then all of a sudden you're like on Instagram all day, which I don't really want to be. And then you're playing their game. Like, look, I'm making cool stories. Look at me, right?
Yeah.
And but it does, especially if you're like a world traveler, it does keep you in people's lives, and they feel like they know you when you show back up. You know?
Yeah.
So there's this benefit to that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've gone back and forth with Instagram. I mean, basically all of last year I was partying and traveling with a ton of girls, and it was very easy for me to just make stories all the time. I wouldn't even have to like think of anything. I would just flip on my phone, and there was just chaos happening everywhere. I was, you know, Liam was
right,
teasing
yeah.
me the other day. He's like, basically your stories were just look at the craziness that's going on, right? And
yeah,
I got a lot of a lot of women like messaged me out of the blue. They were interested in me just through my stories and seeing my content, so on and so forth. But I did totally notice how much time I was spending on social media. You know, I'd check the, you can look on Instagram and see how much time. And I was spending like between an hour and a half a day just on fucking Instagram. And it really doesn't, it was making me pretty depressed, actually. Like I noticed a big shift when I stopped using it. I mean, I still use it, but I don't really post stories anymore. And I don't really watch other people's shit anymore just because it was spending too much time on social media. It's brutal.
Yeah. And I mean, also, honestly, just on the, like, I certainly had my battles being hooked on, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you work for yourself, you got a lot of downtime and you think, oh, I should be focusing on something. So instead you just focus on somebody's Twitter or something or somebody's Instagram. And I think that really messes your eyes up, number one. Number two, it messes your energy up. And I think it even messes your sex drive up. You're staring at the screen all the time. It's kind of just sucking the life out of you. And it most definitely, which is the whole thing that we're sharing, is we're sharing with people, how do you get out of all of this matrix and go and connect with real people? It's a real thing, and it's the best way to meet them. So even on the dating apps and all that shit, it's so much easier. Like for me to walk up to that girl that I knew was 100% hot, and then I got to read her energy and her mind without all this. She didn't need to stalk my pictures or anything. And know in that second we're really attracted to each other. In that second, for sure, we were both attracted to each other. What happens next, we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
You know, all that took me seconds. I didn't actually take me any more time than the day I was already having. I was just walking one place to another with my friends, you know?
And it's a real connection. And just like you said, you knew, you felt something, she felt something, or, you know, maybe she did, maybe she didn't, but you didn't take any time out of your day and you probably felt great for doing it too.
Yeah, I felt great. I did feel great for doing it because it was like, it's so easy, no matter how many times you've done it, no matter who you are, no matter how many beautiful women have been in your life and who think you're great, that you can, if you're not in practice and you see a beautiful girl, the first thing you feel like is walking the other way. You know, it's always like, not today, maybe tomorrow. I'll start again tomorrow.
There's always some excuse, and
when I
get
it, yeah, it's always, it just keeps coming. And really what we're, instead of teaching people to be fearless, we're teaching people how to transcend fear in the moment it arises so that they can then take action. And then you get the momentum. And then it's like, all of a sudden, I talked to that girl, I talked to another one. All of a sudden, I'm in the flow. All of a sudden, the world is mine. That's why it's like amazing how fast that can happen, especially when you know what to do after that. Once you have it down, yeah.
Because that totally happens when you get in the flow and you talk to a few girls in a row, and you suddenly just feel, you know, if you can get in that flow state and keep approaching too, like then it's, I've had some between
it's
myself
one of the
and
most
clients,
fun
it's amazing.
Things in the world.
Yeah, especially like then you can bar hop after that. You can, you know, dip into a happy hour. That's why I love New York, because I would spend so much time just kind of cruising around, you know, doing what you were doing, working for myself, whatever. See a girl, hit on her. See another one, hit on her. Bam, I'm in a flow state. And then I'll just duck into a bar, meet some girls in there, go from there to another one, blah, blah, blah. Like you can do that in other places, but New York is the best for that.
Yeah, no, you're right. The title of one of my products is Art of the Flow, you know. That's what this place is. You can just go from the street to the park to the top of a rooftop party, down and out, throw on a sports coat and go out to dinner. It's like you just keep flowing from one place to another, meeting, connecting with people.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that is why I love it more than anywhere, you know.
For sure.
And meeting all kinds of people.
Right, yeah.
The Instagram thing, just to make a point of that, it's like, you know, it's hit or miss. Like you can't just get the number. It's like, it depends on the lifestyle you're looking for. You're looking, you know, especially for where you're at, what you're doing. I think it's obviously a good thing. You have so many women going on there. You have so many different parts of the world. So it keeps you in their lives. But for a guy who just wants to get a girlfriend, it's like, hey, you either like me or you don't. You know, I don't have to spend my day making Instagram videos to entertain you. You know? So it's like you get the number, you know, like, you know, it's like, I'm a man, you're a girl. You like doing that? That's cool. But I'm a man, I'm actually building my business, doing this other stuff. So there's that side of it. And I've seen that be a very powerful frame as well. Like, I don't play with Instagram. There's my number. We're either hanging out or we're not, you know. So it's kind of another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. them. But there's a reason for both.
For sure. So after, typically when you work with someone, you do 12 of these in-person kind of coaching sessions, right?
Yeah, this has been my staple all these years. You know, it's changed over time, but basically I've met guys and I do a transformation course where we do inner game, getting guys in tune with their instincts, making them feel good about their intentions, and teaching them just to be social as a practice, like meditation, just without any outcome in mind, because it's healthy and it frees you of all your fears and makes you super present. Teaching guys to detach from the outcome, and then understanding that, yes, in this world, now and forever, it's your job to take all the risks, every single one. Hi, from hello to will you marry me, from hello to the first kiss, it's all your job. So really, you know, getting guys to embrace that and understand there's no way out. And then getting them to understand that even though they're exposing themselves and even though they're being vulnerable when they're meeting a woman, that it's not that what she does or doesn't do or isn't personal to them. So learning to not take everything so personal, like the idea that she doesn't like them or she's in a bad mood or she has a boyfriend or it felt weird or whatever it was. Like, just don't take it all so personal. Even though, you know, you're there in this scene, you didn't invent love or lust. You didn't invent penises and pussies. You didn't invent fucking. You didn't invent birds flying south of the winter or the sun rising. You know, you didn't invent the need that you have to talk to women, that you must be connected to women. You didn't invent that. You're just playing your part, so play it well, you know?
Yeah, very well said. It's an interesting way to look at it. And I'm guessing, we've never talked about this, I don't think, but I mean, just the language you use on your site, The Awakened Lifestyle, what's been your process with meditation and, you know, weaving spirituality or consciousness into all of this stuff?
Yeah, that's how I always started it. It's been, and the guys who work with me, they're already resident in that. So as soon as we talk on the phone and they contact me, as soon as they look at my website or a video of mine, it's already inherently in the messaging that that's what you'll be learning when you come with me, you know?
Right.
Like, we're not going to be talking about, you know, we're going to be going deep and we're going to be going light. We're going to do the whole man. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've attracted a lot of guys, you know, and it's different levels. Some guys are totally into it. Some guys, it's just not where they're at all. They don't see themselves as spiritual, but for everyone, they benefit from tuning into their instincts. So I've seen such powerful, one of the major things we see is that men have been tricked into believing they are their mind. And a lot of the guys that I will work with are very analytical. And they have analytical jobs and they're great at things with their analytical mind. But their analytical mind is always looking for the problem and the reason why not to do things, the reason, you know, not to make a mistake. So when it comes to women and you look around the world, they're still doing that. Their analytical mind has overtaken them and it becomes a fear-based mind. And it's always the reason why not to do everything. Why not to say hi right now? Why now's not the moment? Why I'm not good enough? Why she's not good enough? So getting them to tune into their natural instinct and understand that their natural instinct is it's like an atom bomb to Hiroshima. It's like their instincts are so powerful and they've been suppressing them for so long and it's been creating such cognitive dissonance, such misery. To finally unleash and trust and honor their instincts, this natural instinct to love, to lust, to fuck, to follow the flow, to express oneself, to be seen by a woman, to see a woman, to be with her. Follow it in the moment and trust in it. And then when you come back to your mind, stop looking at it like you're bothering her, you're taking from her, you're creeping her, but you're there to give to her the gift of a man transcending his fear. You're there to give to her the gift of a man or really of the possibility that you guys might connect and be in love and lust and have a great moment or a great conversation. Get her to give that to her. She doesn't have to receive it and don't expect her to. And this is all very spiritual because one of the most spiritual principles in anything taught is detachment from outcome. So it's like, I'm going to practice following my instincts. I'm going to do it by meaning well. And then I'm going to then it's okay if she receives me or not, if she thinks I'm weird or fun. It's okay if nothing comes of it other than that I did it. There doesn't need to be an outcome, but I believe by following this path, it will bring me to the greatest life of all time. So that and those three core beliefs of mine, my instincts are good, my intentions are good. Sometimes they're most misunderstood. I'm not for everyone, and that's okay. That's great. But you just follow that every day and go out and say hi to people, give people compliments, chat them up. You'll become a social man. You become free. You become more authentic because it comes less about manipulating her and trying to get her to do what you want instead of just there, being present and expressing yourself. And that's really also practicing the power of now. You're practicing through, making observations, through really listening and relating and responding to yourself, to the world around you and her. You become totally present, and it frees you from this hyper-analytical mind that's causing you such suffering. So in that sense, without even really getting into dating and fucking and love, that every day of your life is amazing for you and the world.
That's super well said. I love it. It's and just the experience of, I remember when I first started, approaching girls on the street and how just not fucking present I was. Like the furthest thing from presence versus now, even I don't do it nearly as much as I did it at some point, but and I still get the anxiety. It comes back for that blink of a second, and it's like, oh, whatever excuse is in my mind, oh, she's doing this, or I'm busy with this, and blah, 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 and I just have to tell myself to shut the fuck up. And then the experience, the presence that it forces you into, I just love being in that energy now. Like, I'm, great if I...
And when you talk about it like that first, when you're first free like that, it's such a, you remember, when you're talking about it, when you first experienced that, I remember when I first experienced it, when I first discovered this powerful feeling, it was like, I had never been so free. The only time I had been that free is when I was acting and I was doing a great improvisation with somebody, and I would get this high. And that's the high that actors, who struggle along being actors live off of. They live for those moments. And then I started to find it on every street corner and every subway and everywhere in the world. I could be in that scene, that now state.
Yeah.
So it's like, so when you were saying that, and that's what our clients feel like when they work with us and they get to be free. It's actually, they get to feel that for the first time. It's amazing.
It really is. Like I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about how there's, compared to maybe how we used to live as nomadic, hunter-gatherers. When, people probably felt that when they were hunting, or they felt that, in other areas. But now it's like the only outlet for men
That's
to feel that.
That's a great point you just said.
Yeah, it's like this is how we feel that freedom now from like our roots, from our animal instincts, is to like go and, you can call it hunting, but you can also just call it, there's a totally other way to look at it too, from just a more like freedom spiritual side. But you do get that rush. And fuck, like without that, I mean, when I started doing that versus before, like the freedom in my life, it really like set me on this trajectory of just like living a free life and figuring out how to do it.
Well, some of the things you just said, it's like, it was like, it started with this small little thing, like I want to meet women. And then you learn, like you said, the spiritual thing, this whole spiritual practice. And then the hunter mindset, without it being predatory, right? We'll lose the word hunting because that sounds predatory. But the reality is what you do is you engage all of your senses like a hunter, You become totally present and you're looking around and you begin reading the environment, begin reading the people in the environment. You begin looking in at her facial expressions, her emotional state. You start tuning into what she's wearing, the way she moves in her body. What does that say about that person? What does it say about her in general? What does it say about what's going on with her right now? You become, in that sense, you have those skills of a hunter. It makes you completely alive. In some ways, you're tracking her to know when you're going to come in and start the conversation in a way that will make her open to having a conversation with you. So in that sense, it really is like that, and it's very exhilarating. It's not predatory on the hunting idea of being a predator. It's definitely not that. Our intentions are to make connections with people and have relationships of a kind with them. That's all there is to it. So, and we're doing, and it's the best way known to man to do that. And it's the right way. It's the healthiest way.
Yeah. And I want to go back to what you said a little while ago, which is so important, is you teach your clients that they are not their mind. And when I realized that, it was like, holy shit, wow, this is, I'm free from this annoying thing that's constantly, well, yeah. So I want to ask you about that, but basically my experience of that, and I'm curious if you had something similar, was after doing a lot of meditation and just a ton of work on consciousness awareness, blah, blah, blah. I did have one feeling where I was like, I kind of felt like I disconnected from my mind for a split second. And I realized, okay, my mind's a tool. It's there to recognize patterns and keep me safe and, you know, make sure I don't get hit by a car, or, you know, if a tiger's chasing me, I can figure out how to maybe run it, you know, get away. But that was a pretty profound experience. Just, you know, realizing that when my mind's just going, and it's going a lot, to just be like, all right, shut the fuck up. It's, you know, let's, so what's, what, you know, tell me about that for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, and, well, for me, it's the same, you know, like I found, you know, I remember, I can even go back to those earliest days, and I would be, you know, trying to, you know, figure out how to build a business. All this stuff was new to me. I was basically kind of living, you know, I mean, I'm a smart guy, but I was living in an actor life and doing those things. And then I was trying to like build websites and learn marketing and all this kind of stuff. And I'd be sitting inside getting so frustrated and so, you know, like just dark in my mind. And then I would go, and then, you know, I was really into the power of now when I really first, you know, you know, I was looking for material that would free me of my mind. And the greatest book to this day that I've ever read on that subject is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, amazing.
And
book.
The second book, A New Earth.
New Earth, yeah.
And
before I meditated, and just to cut you off, it's pretty funny. Before I started meditating, because I was like, fuck, I can't meditate. This is too hard. This is too annoying. But I would read The Power of Now, or I'd listen to it rather on audiobook. And that was kind of, that was felt like meditating because his voice is so hypnotic. And, you know, it was just, it would take me into a literally like a different kind of brain, probably a different brain wave. You know, I'd get out of whatever beta or alpha or whatever we're in. But that was my, that really got me into it. And I that book's great. Both of them are great. Eckhart Tolle is.
It's great teachings. And yeah, and so what you're saying, one of the things you said in that book, which is so freeing, is like, stop trying to be good at everything. You don't like the ego always wants to build something. So even meditation, it's like, I'm going to be the best meditator. I'm going to become great at this practice, even if it takes me 20 years. So, and that's what the ego does. And then, but then when he was just saying, like, just drop all that, you know, sit in a chair, focus on the energy coursing through your hands for a couple seconds, you know, just be present. And then I really just found that going out and talking to people was a practice, a meditation practice. It is a meditation. It's a different kind of meditation. And it was my kind of meditation because I'm a physical guy. I like to be out, walking around, moving around. I like to be part of the world. And all of a sudden just tuning in. And I found it to be the most freeing thing, you know, and to this day, it really is that. And it was only, although I was into meditation, especially at that time, I really was not like into the idea of sitting still, closing my eyes very much, you know? Mm-hmm. So even though I would do yoga and they could do it for me, it was only in the last few years where I really started, you know, discovering that, the joy of that, creating a habit and a discipline of, you know, waking up in the morning, doing my stretches, and now meditating, you know, 20 minutes to an hour most days. And I find that really awesome for me.
Is that your routine?
Yeah, that's my ideal morning routine. Sometimes I wake up and then I grab for the phone and then I see my whole life and now I'm trying to keep, like, not even look at the phone until like noon or whatever, you know?
One of the habits I've been tracking is not allowing myself to check my phone until after I've like gotten out of the house, walked the dog, tried to meditate for, you know, 10 or 20 minutes. And then finally I can check my phone. Cause fuck, if you just roll out of bed and check your phone, it's like you become so reactive to everything that's happening. It can really just fuck up your day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know, I mean, because I love, you know, some of the people I love to listen to that really get me going every day. I'll listen to Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you ever listened to her on YouTube. It's amazing. And then she gets me going. But the biggest thing they're saying is like, we're basically, it's like law of attraction stuff. We're creating all this momentum all day. And then when you sleep, it's like you get to, and you wake up, you're fresh and new. All the momentum from yesterday subsided. You have a chance to be a new you. And then when you go, and then I was, so it's between her and the Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's like, they're really great to listen to. But basically, as soon as you grab for that phone, as soon as you keep doing the same thing you did the day before, you just keep creating the same person. So then I look at Donald Trump's tweets, okay, and then I see some negative news, you know, somebody did something nasty. Now I got that negative energy coursing through me. Then I look at, you know, five messages from whatever, some stories that are going on in my own personal life. And then, so now I'm already back to that guy. You know, right. I'm already in that state. So sometimes I struggle with skipping that step because I don't like pop right out of bed or something. But ideally I get up, I grab my yoga mat, or I make a cup of jasmine green tea. I chug like 3-4 glasses of water. I start stretching. And then after I do stretching for 45 minutes, an hour, then I pop right into this meditation. Lately, I've been meditating. There's this amazing Wayne Dyer meditation where it's called I Am That I Am. You know, it's about meditating. It's really about visualizing while you meditate, you know, visualizing your ultimate you. Okay. And I find that really powerful. It leaves me in great vibes all day. And then I'll hit the cold shower, you know, hot, cold shower. And that's kind of how I get my day going. And I hit the streets, you know.
That's cool. So you're working with clients almost every day. That's a great way to just, you know, be out and just enjoying your work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, these days I used to do, like back in the day, where I was like 2 or 3 clients a day, was that. But now I try to keep to 1 client a day, and then I do other stuff. Like I just finished filming a video course, and, you know, I'm building a new website. So I'm, you know, tinkering around with all the things that it takes to, you know, create a business and a brand. And then I also make time for other things that matter to me. I like hanging out with people that I like and talking to them, girls or friends, and that's part of my life too. But I found even just for my own well-being, it's great for me personally to be social every single day. And actually, I enjoy generally having a 1 client a day kind of thing. And then sometimes, of course, on weekends, I'll usually have, you know, 2. And then sometimes I also, like this weekend, I'm doing a 4-day workshop. So I have 4 guys I'm coaching at once. You know?
Right.
So that's like an intensive, you know, all day, every day thing for the next from Thursday through Sunday. So that's something I'll do a couple times a year in New York and when I travel in Europe. So, but I find just going, meeting with that client, getting out of my, you know, the great thing about being a coach is in that 2-hour period, it's not about me. It's not about John. It's about this guy and unlocking the doors for him. So my total attention is drained on him while I'm teaching him to totally drain his attention and to meet and connect with women in the world and women around him, you know? So that's a nice amount of time just for me to not be about me for a couple hours, you know?
And it's so great, right? Because our brains are just constantly going and it's all me, me, me. How do I get this or this problem or that? And when you just take your attention off you and you put on someone else, it's nice. It's so nice. And they think, obviously it feels amazing to have someone put all their attention on you, but you're really the one kind of getting the gift by just getting out of your own me, 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 you know? So
it's amazing, actually. I mean, and most of my clients are amazing human beings, you know, and are also the kind of people that are always working on themselves and bettering themselves. They're great people to be around, you know. For sure. 95%, you know. Once in a while, you get a drainer. A guy who's called a drainer. You know? That's the guy who makes you want to quit, you know. So that only happens once a year, you know. He hasn't happened yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I used to get a lot more drainers, but luckily in the last few years.
All these really amazing people.
Yeah. Well, it's perfect. That's a good segue. I want to open up the call. I've got a few guys listening in that are in my leverage program.
Right.
It's like a monthly thing. And
yeah,
let's see if they have any questions. I've got everyone muted. So if you have a question, just go ahead and blurt it out. And if not, I've got a few more too.
Do you do visualization, and what kind of meditation are you into?
Yeah. You know what? I really do, actually. Visualization is, you know, I have found in all my years of personal self-development and then working with my clients, one of the greatest inner game techniques, the greatest ways to create the life that you want to create is to become a visionary, to have a clear vision, like really like, and you do that, you can do it by talking out loud, you can do it by writing it down, you can do it, you know, mumbling to yourself. Sometimes I'll walk down the street and I'll vision, you know, there's a lot of ways to do things. You don't have to always do things formally. So I'll just walk down and just start saying all the things that I am and want to be in my voice memo, you know, just like I am, you know, a published author. I am a world traveler. I am able to live in any apartment anywhere in the world that I want to. And I am a gradient dynamic health. I really get into this I am mindset. So that is the vision. Like, who do I want to be? What do I want to create? What do I want to experience? So when I look at the way that I visualize, and I'll give you, as much as I'm talking, I'll give you how simple I'll do it. But I'll do it simply in two ways. But basically, I visualize how I want to feel about myself, how I want to feel inside. So if you really just start there, I'll say, how do I want to feel? I want to feel in a state of appreciation. I want to feel in a state of enthusiasm, in a state of excitement. I want to feel in a state of inspiration. I want to feel calm. I want to feel chill. How do I want to feel around women, new attractive women? I want to feel like they're easy to be around. Like when I'm talking to the most beautiful women in the world, like I want to feel like I've already fucked 10,000 of them and I'm just so comfortable in their presence. I just want to be that cool guy. I want to feel like that. And then, but just by saying that right now, I'm starting to feel like that. I'm focusing what I want to feel like as opposed to how you may feel, which is like nervous, shy, introverted, sway, you feel creepy. I feel like I'm bothering her. So you start to move off of, you know, those negative feelings, you start to move into how I want to feel. And then you talk to yourself in that way. And I'll say, and use the I am statement. And when you say I am, it's the most powerful statement in the world. It creates you. You know, so if you say I am nervous, now you're nervous. I say I'm an asshole, and now I feel bad. If I say I am fun, I am chill, I am cool, I am direct, I am bold, I am easygoing, I am awesome, I am the god of fuck. And you can kind of, you know, in this way, you fortify who you are. Then I'll say the same thing about what do I want to be able to do that I'm not doing now. So first feel, and then it's like, well, I want to be able to approach any woman anytime, anywhere. I want to be able to walk up and say hi and be cool. I want to be able to have great conversations with women. I want to be able to date, I want to be able to date beautiful women. I want to be able to ask them out. I want to be able to, you know, confidently ask a woman out. I want to be able to initiate physical contact, you know, in a way that really turns her on. And then I say, well, what do I want to be able to experience that I'm not experiencing now? Then I say, well, I want to experience dating really beautiful women that really fucking like being around me. I want to be able to experience traveling the world and dating women in all different parts of the world. And I want to experience that. I want to experience being in love. I want to experience having three girlfriends. I want to experience whatever you want to experience, you know, that's up to you. And a lot of guys ultimately really, they like the journey of everything I just said. And it usually ends in the arms of a loving woman. They want to have one girl who loves them. And that's a great feeling. So you look at what the vision is. It starts to feel, do, and have what I want to experience. And then, so then the simple way, and then I'll just give you a simple way to do that is you literally just say, I am that, you know, I am all those things over and over and over. And that is a form of meditation and visualization. But then there's this, if you've ever heard of Wayne Dyer, he's got this great meditation on YouTube for free, ad free. It's called I Am That I Am. And I get you guys to just turn that on. The first 7 minutes of the video, he tells you how this works, what this is. And then there's two 20-minute meditations that follows. You can do one at a time or do them both in a row. And it is the most amazing visualization tool I know. But literally by visualizing and seeing yourself, all of a sudden that stuff starts to happen. And I've literally seen guys who never approached a girl in his life. I did a visualization with him where he walks into a park, he's saying hi to lots of girls, and everything's real easy. People smiling back at him, the sun shining on his face, he feels good in his body. And then there's this really cute girl sitting on a bench in the park reading a book. And he walks up to her and he says, "Excuse me, miss, I can't believe you're reading that book. It's the worst fucking book I've ever read." And then she says, "What?" And he says, "I'm just kidding." And then he starts to see himself being this fun, bold guy. And then he sits down and he starts talking to her. And then they ultimately leave together and go for a coffee. And then they have a coffee and they hang out. That's a visualization we did. This is a guy who never approached women in his life. We walked outside. We did exactly that. It was literally like, there was the girl, and it was like a cold, shitty day, and all of a sudden there was a girl on the park bench, and they did exactly all that. He saw it in his mind. He allowed himself to become it. He saw something. He got to experience something that he never experienced, so now it's a part of him, and then all of a sudden it happened in real life, and I can say that happens countless times.
That's some real love. That's helpful. Law of attraction shit right there.
Yeah.
Just totally manifesting it. That's fucking great.
Yeah. Manifesting it and unlocking it in yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just allowing yourself to feel what it feels like to be, to experience what you want. A lot of us don't even, like, feel like we deserve to have a beautiful girlfriend. We just know we want it. But then, you know, we deserve this loving woman in our arms, this woman who adores us. But imagine, visualize yourself being adored by the most beautiful, interesting woman you've ever met. Visualize her doting on you, worshiping you. Let yourself feel what it feels like, and then go out and say hi to people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it makes such a big difference to go in with that sort of mental state, because we're reading each other's minds all the time. Like, emotions are so contagious. If you walk up with a bunch of crap going, you know, between your ears, like, yeah, she's going to feel that. I really like some of these exercises you're talking about.
She's going to feel if you're walking up like, I'm creepy.
Yep.
That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, who else has questions? Go ahead and chime in.
So do you have a list, like you just shared with us, a list of these mindset or meditation sort of exercises? Or do you have a list, or like what you were saying about, like, you know, like the I am exercises and like what you want to feel you know, that would have you naturally want to talk to women? Versus the default, which is, well, just going to be garbage, right?
Right.
I'm asking this because, you know, I've been doing a lot of meditation lately, and I have a coach that's helping me with, like, wanting to sleep earlier. And it's helping a lot. So I just would like to know if you have specific approaches or, you know, like a lesson laid out for the mindset of making it attractive to, you know, not only approach women, but like every interaction.
Yeah, well, I do. To make some things simpler, I was kind of saying some, you know, I hope this is, I'm answering a question, but basically, like, I have an inner game blueprint, and I'll look at a series of six beliefs, and I, this comes to me, these six beliefs I discovered from, first I went to a pretty good school for psychology. I was thinking I was going to be in psychology, and then I became an actor, and then I studied with the best acting teachers. And so one is psychology, you know, studying the mind, the beliefs, all, you know, our inner workings from that angle. And then I studied being an actor, which is like embodying psychology, embodying other people's psychology, just exploring your own. It's like pretty fascinating stuff. And then I became this guy, this dating guy, this coach who at the same time, my interest was in like these Zen-like things, learning how to be in the now, learning how to, you know, I started to want to transcend the mind, as I found it to be a big problem. And then, so along the way, I started to discover like beliefs that I thought were really powerful. And I'll say the six beliefs really fast. And I had already talked about them, but there's these six beliefs, and then the mindset I go about these beliefs. So the number one, well, the number one thing we're doing is this is a social practice. Just like you have a meditation practice, this is your social practice. You practice being social like you practice doing yoga or you practice the guitar. You practice flirting just like that. It's a practice that brings its own benefits without any need from any woman at all. No matter what, you know, nothing she does or doesn't do, you know, it's not about getting dates or getting laid or getting love. It's about the practice is bringing you into the now. It's healthy for you. So you're coming at it from this way that, of course, and also you do know that it does bring all those other benefits. But being social and going out and having these energy exchanges, especially the positive ones, is in and of itself amazing. Having positive exchange, even if the woman's married or has a boyfriend, but you have a nice moment, it's very powerful. And then also sometimes you take negative energy from other people, and learning how to get rid of that without personalizing it is one of life's great art forms. And this puts you right in front of it all day, every day. So it's learning to drink in the good and release the negative all the time. So that's the social practice. So the beliefs that make up the social practice are, my instincts are good. That's a mantra and a belief. And really honing in on your instincts as your guidance system, coming to honor them in every area of your life. The more you listen to your instincts, the greater life experience you will have. And if you've ever not listened to your instincts, suppressed them, denied them, you'll find yourself in an inner war, and you'll find yourself going backwards and being depressed. So it's really the more you listen to your instincts, the more you tune in, the greater your life experience, right? So then to honor your instincts above all else, above your mind, above the opinions of others. You always take counsel from others you trust, but above all else, you honor your instincts. The next thing is, my intentions are good. I'm not here to bother women, hurt them, take from them. I'm simply here to give, receive, and share in pleasure. So whenever I approach anyone, it's with that intention. Not everyone's picking up what I'm putting down. Not everybody's going to be into me. Not everyone's going to love me. Not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's, you know, people's lithium's off today. They just broke up with their boyfriend. They just had a bad interaction with somebody else, a million things. Or you even did, as a new guy out there practicing, did rub her the wrong way. You actually creeped her out. Maybe she's easily creeped out. Maybe your timing was off. Maybe you got too close. Maybe this, maybe that. And it's learning to say, I'm not for everyone, and that's okay. Thank God I'm not for everyone. Learning to understand that no matter how hard you try, no matter how many trillions of dollars you make, how many girls you fuck, no matter who you know or what you do, so many people just aren't going to like you. They're just not going to like you.
So it's true.
Unbelievable. But they're, yeah. So it's like making peace with that. And then getting to the point where it's like, wow, that's true. Now you're thinking it up. That's true. So why am I trying to make everyone like me? Why don't I just like myself and do what I want to do and do it with good intention? And then I don't have to be fake or manipulative. I can be actually authentic. I can actually express my real opinions and really be me. What a freedom. What a freedom. Then I'll just quickly go through this. I've got a job to do, man. It's my job in nature and in this society to take every single risk, every single one, every single time. And when I've taken the first risk and then I've taken another and I think, oh, well, maybe I'll walk away, I got to take one more, always. And you follow that simple rule. You say hi, and whenever you think you're supposed to walk away, unless you've got a gun to your head, just take one more risk. One more and see what happens. And then when you get there and she didn't shoot you, take one more. And then it's not personal. It's not personal. It's as personal as birds flying south of the winter and the sun rising. You going up and playing the mating dance is not personal to you. Yes, you are the actor in the role, and that is your personal experience, but you doing it. So sometimes we have these dark voices like, oh, people think we're being bad, or people are watching me. It's like, well, you know, and people don't like this. And it's like, that's like someone not liking the sun rising instead of, like that's insane. You know? So, yeah.
I like that.
And then it's the most important job in the world. Every single person here, really, really looking at this, how deep it is. I mean, as much as we're, you know, having fun and flirting and being silly and all that kind of stuff and fulfilling desires and needs, we're making human connections. We're making friends and lovers. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants that. They want to be connected to themselves. They want to be able to be in the now, and they want to connect to other people, friends and lovers. And you, when you walk up, you offer that. You offer the possibility of that. You bring a little seed. Hey, I might plant the seed. It might grow into something. And as Robbie can attest to, and as I can attest to, I have an on and off 8-year relationship with a famous supermodel. That started on a park bench on one sunny day. You know, that's like a real, we're each other's main person, each other's main storyline. Isn't that amazing?
It really is when you think about it that way.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've had so many other things going on, and even friends. So I think that's like some nice beliefs, you know?
Those are great. I fucking love it, man. I feel like we could talk. Yeah. There's so much more I want to talk about, but I know you've got the, I really love what you're saying. And, you know, I want to keep going and hear more fucking awesome stuff. So maybe I'll have to have you come on, you know, on the podcast again.
Yeah, anytime.
But
anytime, it's fun.
Your mindsets are just so amazing on all this stuff. Thank you for sharing all that, and I'm sure you know, our listeners will love it. Where can guys find out more about you? Can you tell us your site again?
Yeah, it's theawakenedlifestyle.com, and then also you can find me like John Keegan Dating on YouTube, and you know, I have live. You know, so I do my one-on-one coaching in New York, and then I do workshops around the world. I'll be doing another workshop in London in June. On the Awaken Lifestyle, you see a products page. You know, there's this Art of the Flow course, really great course. Also comes with an ebook, and then I have a video course coming shortly. Working on it now, and then there's a whole free resource page. And someone had asked about visualization, and I do some guided visualizations specifically around dating for free on that.
Very cool. So theawakenedlifestyle.com. Yeah. Awesome, John. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on sharing your wisdom, man.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.